Around this time every year, Arch Madness begins. No, not March Madness, the basketball bracket. Arch Madness. Where are the priests going to go? The newly ordained especially, they make brackets of what parishes they think the newly ordained priests will get assigned to. This year there's only one of them, so it's not too hard. But my year, when I was ordained, there were five of us. And everybody was wondering, where are they going to go? Where's the archbishop going to send them? And I said, well, I know where he's not going to send me. He's not going to send me to Dyersville. I mean, the other priest there's name is Dennis. He wouldn't assign two Dennises to the same place. I was wrong. And I had to call a friend in Rome and say, send more albs. I've got five parishes now. But it was weird being two Dennises in the same place. Thank God we went by last names. But I remember one year we were processing in for confirmation and the archbishop's there, and as we're about to begin the procession, the archbishop says, Dennis. And we both turn around to look at him. And he goes, no, not you, that Dennis. Names have power. You know, think about it. To give someone a name? To identify them for the rest of their life? Parents, you have a great responsibility. So please don't pick the silly ones that we hear about sometimes. But think about it. When someone calls your name, you turn. You give them your attention. Oftentimes, without even thinking about it, you hear your name and you respond. By giving someone your name, you have a certain amount of, given them a certain amount of power over you to be able to call you, to reach out to you, to know you in a way. In our first reading today from the book of Exodus, God gives his name to Moses. He allows himself to be called upon. There's a real interesting dynamic in this story that I think is worth digging into a little bit more. The book of Exodus is one of my absolute favorites, by the way, so prepare for an extended treatise on Exodus now. Look at the first chapter of Exodus. What happens? We hear about Moses growing up in the household of Pharaoh, the Israelites being oppressed, one of the Egyptians striking an Israelite, Moses taking it into his own hands, striking back and killing the Egyptian, and having to flee, fleeing to Midian, where we find him now. And the first chapter of Exodus ends with this waiting on a response from the Lord. The people cried out in their need, and Moses fled because he took it into his own hands to try and fix the situation and only made it worse. And today, God appears to Moses in the flaming bush. And hear what he says to Moses. Moses, come no nearer. Stay back, for this is holy ground. And Moses hides his face. But then what is God's response? He says that you shall tell them, I've heard their cries, I've witnessed the affliction of my people, and have heard their cry of complaint against their slave drivers. I know well their suffering. Therefore, I have come to rescue them. I have come to rescue them. He tells Moses not to try and approach him, but God himself comes to his people. He hears and sees their sufferings, and he comes to be with them to free them. Moses, you don't have to take this into your own hand. I'm coming to you. And yet, he still gives us his name. Who shall I say sent them? Sent me. I am sent me to you. I am. He gives us his name so that we can call upon him. To not take the name of the Lord in vain is so important. Think of the power that God has given over himself to us in giving us his name. That we can cry out that he may hear us in our need and come to us just as he did to the Israelites in Egypt. To use that name profanely for anything other than true need? What a terrible thing it really is to take the name of the Lord in vain. And yet, God continues to draw closer, not just intervening in Exodus, but coming to us as a man in his Son, Jesus Christ, the holy name of Jesus, which we can call out, call upon, ask for him to come and help us when we need it. God draws close to us. I think sometimes we see our journey of faith as I have to forge the way. I have to figure out how to get closer to God through my own efforts, through my skill, through my penance and holiness. But the story of salvation from Exodus to Pentecost is God coming to us, hearing our need, desiring to be with us, and coming when we call out to help him. As Father Potter reminded us in the parish mission this week, in a special way in the Eucharist, God obeys his priests. When we say the words of consecration, that bread and wine change. Jesus Christ is present in our midst and comes to be with us in the form of food, so that we might be as close to him as possible, so that he may come to dwell in our hearts. Our God is not impersonal, far off, and distant. He hears your cry. He gives you power over him in giving us his name. And he desires to draw close to us when we call upon him. Brothers and sisters, during this Lenten season, yes, we fast. We try through our own efforts to draw closer to God, but really, we're trying to make room for him. Fasting, almsgiving. But what about prayer? Do we turn to the Lord in prayer? Do we call upon his name, inviting him into our needs, our desires, our gratitude? Do we ask him to be close to us? Or do we treat him like he's far off, distant, and uncaring? He shows us that that is a lie. He shows us that that is not true. But do we lead ourselves into that lie? Brothers and sisters, in prayer, we call out to God by name, and he hears us. He responds. He comes close to be with us and save us. May we enter into that deeply personal relationship that he desires. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You don't have to forge it, brothers and sisters. You don't have to come closer to the burning bush. You simply need to call out to Christ, who will come to you in your need, who will help to bring you to where you long to be with our Father in heaven. May we invoke his name reverently and holy manner, but also personally in our prayer, inviting God into our life.